actions of the last 14. I also believe that we had an election. I would like to congratulate you on behalf of the Independent Democrats. And I would like also to thank the previous chairperson, who has also done a very good work, allowing us to have a robust debate. And I would like to wish you well for the future and say to you, welcome in your new position. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, I think we should start with our meeting, but I'm not sure whether your system is working now, because I'm not sure how they want to make that presentation in the slide forms. This is what we want to present. Otherwise, Paul, it has tried to get people to, and then to come in and show that the system works. Thank you very much, colleagues. Let us, are they come? Well, I think that is important for us to introduce ourselves, particularly the Live team. And a very important team. I think we are privileged that we are here engaging with the members of the committee. I think it's very important for us. You should introduce yourself, Grace, who are the people who are here. That will take us really, then we'll allow members also, while we are waiting for those who are dealing with the technology to come in and ensure that we start working on it. And look, we are most welcome really in our committee meeting. And I think we'll be free then to take us through. What we always appreciate anyway is that you do your work with diligence and respect for members of the committee, precisely because they are representing the society as a whole. Therefore, when they are treated, they must always be treated with that understanding, that they are here not because they represent themselves, but they are here because they are mandated by society to represent aspiration. We always expect from those who make presentation here to have to bear that in mind, and then to ensure that they give us information that is necessary for us to take a decision. And then we always want people to be very diligent and also to be respectful of members of parliament, but to be very robust in giving information that we need to do. And then really we highly appreciate that. And I know sometimes it may be very hard on you, but just understand that you are doing that on behalf of the society. And then I think you must appreciate that. And then they will always be like that, really. I think that's what we want you to appreciate. And so thank you very much for coming, and then just introduce yourself.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to share the work of Lab Life with the members. My name is Grace Matlapi. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Lab Life, and I'm here with the team from Lab Life that is involved in the running of the Lab Life Games, and I'll ask each one of them to introduce themselves.
Thank you very much. My name is Scott Burnett. I am the Group Director for Programs at Lab Life.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Rex Max Mashego. I am the Director for the Lab Life Games.
Good morning, everybody. My name is William Davis. I'm the National Manager for Games.
Good morning, members. My name is Noetisa Gobo. I'm the Director for Communications and Government Relations.
Thank you very much for your introduction. I think also members who may want to introduce us. Matua.
Good morning, my name is Joe Muglua, and I'm a member of the Sports Committee. Thank you.
Donald Lee, member of the Sports Committee.
Jacob van der Linde, member of the Sports Committee from the DA side.
Graham McKenzie, member of the Sports and Recreation Committee.
My name is Khaya Simusi. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, my name is Linda Mjoba, member of this committee.
My My name is Elda Lishiba, member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. My name is Mulebokeng Christina Dube, known as Grace, member of this committee.
Cora Dihachi, member of this committee.
Good morning. I'm Grace Seke, the member of the Portfolio Committee for the Creation.
Thank you very much. And then welcome all our guests who are here. I think it's working now. Well, maybe we shouldn't wait forever. I think what we should do, Grace, we are sorry for this. But I'm told that we're an expert anyway on this technology yourself who can sort it out. I think we shouldn't really wait more than this. We don't want to delay you. It seems it's coming in. Okay. Let me welcome you then. Take over and make a presentation.
Thank you very much. So I'm just going to take you through a very brief introduction of the Lovelace game and then a little discussion on the strategy of the Lovelace game. And as you'll see in the handout that you've got, I also want to spend a bit of time sharing the financial information. Lovelace was established in 1999. Between 1997 and 1999, there was consensus among a number of civil society organizations to initiate an HIV prevention program targeting young people in South Africa. A MOU was signed between the founding funder of Lovelace, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and the South African government to create a large-scale HIV prevention program for young people as a public-private partnership in around that time. And Lovelace has been promoting healthy HIV-free living among South African teenagers since 1999. The Lovelace Games, as part of Lovelace, was launched as a presidential lead project with United School Sports Association of South Africa and the National Department of Sports and Recreation in the year 2000. Since inception, Lovelace has combined sustained nationwide multimedia with community-level outreach and support programs. In 2002, there was a result of an evaluation of Lovelace that were released. This evaluation was conducted by Wits University's Reproductive Health Research Unit, that's what it was called at that time, which showed us that if you compared our face-to-face program and our media programs were essential in giving awareness, but that we were getting real behavior change benefits from face-to-face programs, including the Lovelace Games. And as a result of that, Lovelace focused on scaling up our outreach program and support program, and then scaling down media a little bit from that time. In terms of Lovelace Games, the focus was to shift from event-driven approaches that were reaching fewer and fewer young people as it was moving from district to national level, and to focus on mass participation at grassroots level. Thereafter, the campaign continued to focus on addressing the individual and social drivers of the HIV epidemic. And in 2008, included a special new focus on structural drivers like unemployment and early school dropout, which saw the launch of our new campaign, the Make Your Move strategy. The next thing just gives you a summary of the organogram of Lovelace. It's a functional organogram. And we have a board of trustees under the chairmanship of Mr. Mpumakwana. We have a company secretary and an internal auditor. The four units that we have in Lovelace is finance and IT, marketing and fundraising and communication, programs and human resources and games falls under the key outputs of the programs unit, along with the program design, media and research, monitoring and evaluation. This slide just shows what we then did from 2004 when we decided to scale up outreach and go community-based, is the geographic presence of Love Life across the country, represented by all of those dots. By the end of last year, there were 880 communities where there was a Love Life presence across South Africa. And the next one just gives a brief summary of our performance. This is based on 2010 data. That shows that the purple block on the left-hand side is the number of peer educators in Love Life. In 2010, we had 1,447 groundbreakers, young people between the ages of 18 and 25 who drive all of Love Life's programs, as well as 8,005 in Pinches, which are young volunteers that work in partnership with groundbreakers. And we work in 532 youth-friendly clinics. In 2010, we worked in 6,520 schools. We have grannies working with orphaned and vulnerable children, 500 of them. We call them Gogo Getters. We work with 330 community NGOs. There's an output of training of teachers through the Love Life Games as adult allies to support young people to reduce risk of HIV. There's the Love Life Games, there's a call center which has a parent line and the youth line, there's festivals and events. The yellow blocks are the total reach. Our programs reach 1.5 million young people in sustained interaction. The call center reaches 760 calls, and in events, 1.7 young people participated. And in Love Life Games, it events themselves, there were 386 thousand young people that participated. All of this is supported by sustained media on radio, television, print, website, as well as the mobile social network platform. So why does Love Life target the youth? Really, the opportunity lies in the fact that half of our population is under the age of 25. And also in the fact that the highest number of new HIV infection is still among young people, despite some signs of decline in the new HIV infections among them. And among young people, too, many more females are likely to be infected than males. That's the reason that Love Life targets young people. What we also know is that whereas we are seeing some declines in infections among some populations, in urban informal communities, we still have very high prevalence of HIV. In rural formal communities like farms, we also have a growing number of people who are HIV positive. We're seeing some signs of success in villages and in urban formal communities. And so most of the decisions that Love Life will take with regards to our programs are driven by our understanding of HIV risk and how young people are affected. This next one, I will also try to move as quickly as I did with the others. It's just a summary of Love Life's theory of change. What we understand now, rather than 10 years ago when Love Life was established, is that ignorance is no longer what is driving risk among young people. There are many points in society where information is readily available about HIV risk. What seems to drive risk is an interplay of individual factors, social factors, and structural factors in the lives of people. At the individual level, you're looking at things like low self-esteem, no sense of future, and uncertain identity. In particular, I just need to point out one of the things that is very, very strong about the Love Life Games as part of the Love Life bouquet of programs is the extent to which it strengthens the self-esteem as young people get successful and sense of identity as they are recognized for the talent and the uniqueness that they provide in society. So these individual drivers, within a context, a social context, that is characterized by coercion, peer pressure, male sense of entitlement, and pressures for women to live within some expectations in society, also exacerbated structurally by low education, poverty, marginalization, and continuing inequality in our society. All of these things give young people a sense of constrained choices. So they may have the information, but they don't feel like they have a real choice in the moment of decision making. And what results is high risk tolerance among young people. This is a critical theory for Lovelace because it really drives and determines most of the decisions that we take based on our understanding of what drives risk of HIV among young people. The next part is just to really highlighting the shift, more recent shift in strategy within the Lovelace game and looking at what has now been agreed with the Department of Sports and Recreation at Lovelace's role within sports in general. What Lovelace Games used to be is South Africa's flagship school sports event for young people implemented in partnership with USASA. That was between 2000 and 2005, as well as community-specific local organizing committees, and that was what we were doing as we were focusing on mass mobilization between 2006 and 2010. What we've now agreed Lovelace is and will do, Lovelace Games is and will do, is South Africa's HIV prevention support package for school sports programs implemented in partnership with the National Department of Sports and Recreation as well as sporting federations. The strategy has changed to allow for better role clarification between Lovelace and sports federations, where Lovelace is where each one of us can focus on our value propositions, what we're good at, and what we participating in the arena for. It also enables a new focus on reducing the rate of new infections within sports and recreation, working with adults that are critical as role models, allies, and support people for young people, as well as working with young people themselves. It also supports sports development in South Africa and enables a specific focus on marginalized communities. As I showed in my introductory slide, while we're seeing some reductions in risk of infection in marginalized communities that are plagued by poverty and unemployment, the risk is going in the wrong direction. It's going up rather than down. So focusing on marginalized communities is a big priority for Lovelace. And this strategy also allows for mutually reinforcing strategy. Lovelace drives HIV prevention with young people, which builds the sporting stars of tomorrow, while federations manage and expand through the Lovelace hubs. As I said, we have managed to grow a very large national footprint across South Africa and to implement leagues in even more marginalized communities that the federations may not be reaching at the moment. What the next slide shows is just areas of alignment, what we've taken into consideration when we're drafting this new strategy to Sports Recreation South Africa as strategic priorities. So given that SASA's vision is an active and winning nation, in terms of strategic area one of school sports, Lovelace's contribution there is active encouragement of league formation through the Groundbreaker and Mpinchi network in the various communities that they work, and expanding the reach of the federation into marginalized communities and schools. And in terms of strategic area two, that of recreation, Lovelace's contribution is ensuring that through Lovelace style programs, Groundbreakers and Mpinchis promote a positive, healthy lifestyle. And that programs include sports, arts, and culture and lifestyle components. In terms of strategic area three of mass mobilization, and communicating the importance of sports through the Lovelace Games brand is what we bring. And the Mobile Y Center, which is a very strong element of the new strategy of the Lovelace Games, will be present at organized sporting events and giving hundreds and thousands of young people access to a positive lifestyle experience, even as they continue to participate in sports. With regards to the institutional mechanism, Lovelace is integrated within the partnership model, ensuring that we drive coordination for young people between federations, support for sports academies on HIV prevention, as well as including the element of HIV prevention and strengthening the coaches' ability to be adult allies for young people as part of the coaches' training. So the next one does give a summary of the type of events that we're targeting for Love Life Games activation. The agreement is for us to ensure the presence of our nomadic tents and our program in each one of those events, community events and leagues, cluster events, district events, regional events, provincial events, national events, and even international events. And that the sporting coach that will give priority is athletics, chess, basketball, netball, women's rugby, women's football, women's cricket, and a few others that may be specific to various communities that we may work in. I mentioned earlier that one of the areas that we continue to be concerned about is the extra risk odds of infection among young women, additional odds of infection among young women, more than young men. So it's an area that the Love Life strategy wants to focus a little bit more on. So the strategic objectives of the Love Life Games, the new strategy of the Love Life Games, is to create a network of partners in the sports fraternity focused on youth-driven HIV prevention, to ensure that every sports event for young people in South Africa is an opportunity for reducing risk of infection among young people. To build the capacity of adults that are involved in the sports environment to respond to the individual, social and structural drivers of new HIV infections among young people. To be active promoters of sports and recreation activity in marginalized communities around the country, and to build a youth-friendly brand that brings together sports and recreation, positive lifestyle and healthy sexuality. So I'll just very quickly go through each one of those objectives. In terms of the network of partners, this would involve joint planning with the department as well as the federation. We need to know what their priorities are so that we will be there, share our calendars and be at their events. Focus on a demand-driven model, activating, so basically the federation's ring and we bring Lava. Also focus on bespoke strategies for codes and organizations that have a stake in the future of young people. With regards to the second objective of ensuring that every sports event is used as an opportunity for HIV prevention, and what you see there is the example of what the nomadic tent looks like. It's a mobile Y center. Love Life has Y centers across the country. At the end of this presentation, I'll just give you a brief synopsis of everything else that we do so that you get a picture of how this fits in. And this mobile Y center will be taken to each one of the sporting events that involve young people across the country. In the all the bouquet of services that are available in Y centers, in Love Life Y centers, will be presented and brought to the event. There will be groundbreakers at each one of the events who will man the stage, ensuring that there are motivational talks. The Love Life messaging, what we know captures and retains the attention of young people, popular culture, music and entertainment, be involved in the opening and closing ceremonies, as well as ensure participation of others in competitions around the event. And of course, branding that will also be linked to behaviors that we want to encourage. And so that was, this just shows you the size and the presence of the mobile Y center tent at the event. So the people that may have been at the launch of the school sports agreement last week would have seen this tent there. And this is just what it looks like inside. And there's a portion inside that focuses on programs for young people, the youth children, youth corner. And there's a portion inside that also is a space for adults where community dialogues can be facilitated and all kinds of other events that or dialogues that we may want to take place at the event. With regards to the third objective of building the capacity of adults as effective support for young people to reduce risk, Love Life will participate and is already involved with the training at the existing training events, at existing training content for umpiring, for coaching, as well as sports administration, to include as part of that content the elements of HIV prevention for young people. And the outcome thereof will be qualified youth and adult allies that are activists for HIV prevention in young people. With regard to the fourth objective, which is to ensure access and participation of marginalized communities, the Love Life has a presence across the country, and what we'll do is ensure that through the Love Life sites, we ensure support in rural communities. Through the Love Life sites, we ensure support in farming communities. Through the Love Life sites, we ensure school sports for marginalized communities, and this will take the form of organized leagues and events. As I said, the Love Life Groundbreakers and Finches will lead in establishing organized sports, and as it takes root, we'll be able to link with the relevant sports federations to formalize the sporting activity. Finally, using the Love Life Games brand as a healthy lifestyle brand, we'll leverage the Love Life media to promote a healthy winning nation. We have in our monthly Uncut magazine a feature called Mabaleng that always looks at the spotlight on sports. And we'll continue to run that feature and ensure that you know, it's linked to what is important as we raise it among young people. And build the Love Life Games brand to represent a holistic, healthy sporting lifestyle for young people. So that basically gives a little bit of a summary on the strategy of the Love Life Games moving forward. The next section is going to look at just some signs of success. As I said previously, significant inroads have already been made with regards to, for example, this slide shows condom use. In 2002, among young men, was sitting at 57%, and in 2008, it was sitting almost at 90%. So we're seeing a significant change in self-reported behavior among young people. And with regards to HIV prevalence itself, while it does have wide confidence intervals in 2002, you'll see that among young men you had a prevalence of 6.1, and in 2008 it was significantly down at 3.8. Unfortunately, the level of HIV risk among young women, as you say, while there have been even more significant declines in new HIV infections among young women, still remains very high. These are some of the other upcoming evaluations of Love Life. One that is not mentioned here and that is even more significant is one that has now just been completed by the Human Sciences Research Council, evaluating the impact of Love Life in general and continuing to show a significant shift of HIV risk among young people that participate in Love Life compared to those that do not. And that report will be presented at the next HIV and AIDS conference in the Eastern Cape, at the Sahara Conference, and at the international conference that's coming up in Ethiopia. And so we're very excited about that. Another study evaluation that's going to happen is one that we're doing with Jahisa and Soul City next year. That is seeking to examine whether public health communication programs and messages have an impact in changing knowledge, attitude, and norms and behavior with regards to HIV and AIDS and TB. Love Life is a critical partner there. We are a tripartite partnership. In 2012, we're also going to conduct an internal evaluation of the Love Life Groundbreaker Program. The last one that was done was 2007, and I have just a brief synopsis of that just now for you. And then, of course, we're going to be conducting, we've already started in each of the communities that we're working with, they're rebuilding a new white center. We're conducting a baseline study so that we can do follow-up evaluations that can be tracked longitudinally. So what does South Africa get for investing in Love Life? I've already referred briefly to the study that was conducted in 2004 by the Human Sciences Research, by the Reproductive Health Research Unit of Wits University, that found that interaction with Love Life face-to-face had a 0.61 adjusted odds ratio protective effect. That just means participating in Love Life programs makes young people around 40% less likely to contract HIV. That's a remarkable efficacy for a behavior-driving initiative. And as I've just said, HSRC study shows that we've made even more impact since that time. With regards to other social returns on investment, there's 2,500 temporary employment opportunities that are created in Love Life every year. These employment opportunities result in actual cash transfers within marginalized communities. Also result in skills transfers that affect long-term employability among various people that come through Love Life. An evaluation of the Groundbreaker program that was done in 2007 shows a significant impact on two indicators, post-metric qualification, on many, many indicators, but we just took these two because they are very, very significant in terms of HIV risk. Post-metric qualification as well as employment. Among groundbreakers with regards to post-metric qualification, after participation in the Love Life program, there's a 47% likelihood of post-metric qualification among them, where within South Africa, generally at the population level, there's 6.1% possibility of post-metric qualification. With regards to employment, after participation in the program, employment levels among groundbreakers go up to 60%, whereas in this year that the VOSESA conducted this evaluation for us, South African youth average was 15.34%. So we take seriously that the impact of Love Life in South Africa is not just reducing risk of infection. It also has significant impact on the socioeconomic indicators. We've implemented our programs at an ever-increasing scale, even though in real terms we haven't really seen a significant increase in our funding. We have increased in the last 5 years, have seen an increase of 450% in the number of young people participating in Love Life. We've seen an increase of 127% in the schools that we work in. And we've seen an increase of 29% in the community sites that we've worked in over the last 5 years. And because, as I said, there hasn't really, that increase was not really with any significant increase in money, it has resulted in very dramatic increases in cost efficiency from a per capita cost in 2006 of about 600 rand to a per capita cost of about 100 rand. So the last section is one that looks briefly at the finances of Love Life. So this one just shows who pays for Love Life. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation pays for the Gogo Getter program, which is a program that targets specifically orphaned and vulnerable children by the Gogo Getter. The funding is national, and the budget there is 4.7 million. And as you can see, our biggest funder in 2010 was the Department of Health, and paying for all of those projects listed there at 76 million per annum. The Department of Social Development also paying for those at 42 million then. the Department of Social Development in Northwest at the bottom, paying only for the extension of the Love Life Bridge in their province at 3.1 million. The National Lottery, the Art and Culture chapter of the lottery, they funded 17 million last year. Marian Roberts was funding specifically the repair and maintenance of our Y centers, of our basketball courts and other courts in those centers at 3.4 million. The Department of Sports and Recreation was funding 27 million, and other funders, a whole collection of them, about 1.5 million. So that is just the total list of the people that pay for Love Life. This is all 2010 data so that we can get you complete data. The next one just does give the comparison of the funding of our three key, it's not really a comparison. It's just to highlight, because this, all of these departments is funding that comes from the government of South Africa. So it's just to highlight to you what each one of the departments pays for, what the size of their funding is, and looking at it, breaking that down into support costs, program costs, and capital expenses. So if you look at SASA in the middle, you'll see that the support costs for sports is 14%, so that is sort of loosely admin costs. And 85% of the costs go to the program, and 1% goes to capital expenses. Capital expenses is typically laptops. We capitalize laptops on it and depreciate on a straight line over 3 years. And you see the GOH and social development, the breakdown with regards to that. And so that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alex, for any addition from your side.
I have that brief video to show you. It's very, very brief. It just gives you a brief overview of everything else that you do. That we do.
To help create the shift, Love Life focuses on the most vulnerable times in a young person's life.
Love Life means making an impact around the community at large. Making the difference among the youngsters in my community.
Our award-winning, highly visible and innovative multimedia campaign draws young people into the Love Life brand, promoting a sense of self-worth and a focus on the future. Television, print, outdoor, web and radio programs get people talking about the issues that impact on their lives. Extensive communication, branding and distribution makes sure Love Life's materials reach all corners of the country.
When I read about Love Life in Germany, I knew I wanted to come here to be part of it.
MIMSTER, the world's first mobile social network dedicated to youth empowerment and HIV prevention, was developed by Love Life. Using cell phones, it connects youth with information and opportunities. Love Life has the highest reach to young people of all national communications programs evaluated. From the computer labs of CyberWise to the studios of RadioWise, Love Life's 19 Wise centers offer cutting-edge programs along with providing a safe and fun space for young people to hang out and get skills and information. Together with the Department of Health, we have developed youth-friendly services. These clinics are more acceptable and accessible to young people, encouraging them to seek help and advice instead of waiting until they are sick.
From Love Life, I have learned that you must take young people's views into consideration.
Love Life franchisees run programs in more than 200 communities. 6,000 schools form a network for outreach activities. Every year, 1,200 young leaders become groundbreakers, implementing Love Life programs. A further 5,000 volunteers called VHEs support the groundbreakers.
For me, as a VHE, helping people to recognize their goal in life makes me very proud to be in Love Life.
Our training unit is responsible for the design and implementation of national trainings and materials, ensuring that implementers receive the highest quality training. The Love Train is a Y center on wheels, sharing the vibe with isolated communities. In partnership with sports federations and Sports and Recreation South Africa, the Love Life Games uses sport as a tool to promote healthy sexuality and positive lifestyle among young people.
We've got so many activities. We've got drama, ultimate dance, soccer, volleyball. Everyone wants to participate.
It's not just about HIV. EnviroWise empowers young people with skills to join the green economy. 500 grandmothers, known as go-getters, provide support to more than 6,000 orphaned and vulnerable youth, ensuring that they are safe, in school, are not hungry, and have access to social grants. Trained counselors provide free sexual health information and counseling to those calling in on the toll-free helplines.
One of my worst calls was when one of our callers was HIV positive, wanted to commit suicide using a gun. At first it was difficult for me to deal with him, but at the end I managed to convince him to give that gun to his mom.
In addition, callers can send a free please call me that allows the call center to link back to anyone in need of help.
Sometimes we do not have data, and there are too many people in the public phone. So when you need help, you can still get.
Ongoing communication within families and communities is key. The Born Free Dialogues keep these channels open. Love Life's programs are closely monitored across the country. By tracking its impact over time, not only on attitude and self-reported risk behavior, but also on HIV and sexually transmitted infections, Love Life can refine and develop its program as young people's needs change. 40% of our population is younger than 50 years. Prevalence of HIV among 15 to 24-year-olds has declined significantly over the past 3 years to 8.7%, while the rate of new HIV infection among teenagers has halved since 2002. Love Life supports a generation of young people who are complete within themselves, creative in response to life challenges, and connected to a network of opportunity. Love Life. Make your move.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much, Grace, for this. I think it's very useful. Any addition from your side? Any point that you want to add? If you're happy, let me invite members.
Chairperson, thanks ever so much for the presentation. Now, let me talk about something else first before I get to a question. Do you pay your service providers promptly? Now, the reason for asking that question, somebody came to me a few years ago. She wasn't paid for what the services that she rendered. She went to a lawyer, but in the end she couldn't pay the lawyer. She lost everything. And I think today that woman hasn't been paid as yet for a service that she provided to Love Life. I will give you the name, and I need a contact person that I can talk to. That's the first point. The second point is I received a call from Love Life, somebody in Love Life about 6 months ago. And I couldn't get the name. She left a message. It's a lady. She left a message on my cell phone. And so I tried to contact her. And then when I spoke to Love Life in Johannesburg, and I explained who I am, they put me through to, do you have a sports desk there? Because she said, listen, I am involved in sport in Parliament. She said, no, there is sort of a sports, some desk or something there. And she put me through, I think I phoned 4 times. And never did anybody respond at the number. So I don't know what is happening in your offices. Now coming back to the report. the question really is, you see, we are to do oversight, this committee has to do oversight over the money that the Department of Sport gives to you, that money. In other words, I think it's 27 million rand, 27.3. Now, it's not only 27. We must do oversight on 27 million, 300 some odd thousand rand, every cent of it. Now, you've given us a report, but I do not know where our money fits into that report, you understand? Because you are getting money from different other departments too. I really want a report on what happens to, or what happened to our 27.3 million rand. In which programs the money was used and how was it spent. A few years ago, Love Life was very, very visible. In fact, I wore a Love Life t-shirt. T-shirts, you could see t-shirts and activities. You could see them happening. I am from the Eastern Cape, and I see that something is going to happen in the Eastern Cape. There's going to be a conference or something in Port Elizabeth. You reported on it. I really want to know where it's going to happen, because I want to attend that thing. I'm from the, and I watch all those red dots that you had there. You had a map of South Africa and lots of red dots there. You see, and I wondered whether, where I come from, whether there was a red or two. Because perhaps the red dots that you have there, I don't see that red dot where I come from. I want to know in Port Elizabeth who the contact people are. Now, it's easier for me to sort of have a view of a thing when it happens around me, where I am. So I would like to know from my side, but from all of us, we would like to know where these things are happening, so that we can go and look what is happening, go and inspect. Because That is part of our duty to do oversight. You tell me, listen, we are spending 10 rand there, I want to go and see where that 10 rand is. The last point, again, it's about oversight. I see that you received that qualified audit report in 2010. Now, did you make sure that the reasons that were given for that qualified report, that those reasons do not exist anymore? In other words, are you sure that you will get a better Auditor General's report this year around? Thanks, Chairperson. Sorry, the last point. I'm in this committee plus over 10 years, near 15 years. You appeared in front of this committee once before. You are getting more money from us than all the federations, 40 federations, put together. And you only appeared before us once before. This is the second time. I think, Chairperson, that must also improve. They must come and report more often to us exactly what Love Life is doing with the money that it gets from the Department of Sport. Thanks.
Okay, I'll come to all of you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, from my side, an interesting question. Seeing that Love Life received money from Health, DSD, as well as sports, I would like to know as to whether they submit the same report to the other departments. If so, I think there is a need to have it in a combined fashion whereby we as a committee can have a bird's eye view on the activities as raised by Honorable Lee. Also, nothing has been mentioned in the clip on support from DSD. We also take note of their program in terms of HIV prevention campaign or program. But what bothers me most is that the presentation is lacking stats on the HIV status in the respective province. Is there any reason for that? Then I would like to check with Love Life as to whether they ever experience a shortage of supply when it comes to condoms. And also, there's this current debate or court case surrounding condoms that is too small and condoms that is bursting. How does that also affect Love Life as well? A very interesting phenomenon is that Love Life is making mention about regional structures that manage school sport that is already identified. They also make mention of structures that has been capacitated. Now, I'm really inquisitive and would like to find out whether such list will be submitted to this committee, because we are engaging in oversight, as Honorable Lee has said. And we would like to know, to locate these premises, these structures that are in place, so that we also can engage and discuss and debate and work together with these people. They also make mention about joint planning with the department and the federation. I would like to know as to whether there is an existing calendar yet out, so that we can also acquaint ourselves on the activities of Love Life, and for what it's worth, also wear the t-shirts and attend these occasions. Then I just want to make mention of this. While Honorable Lee has talked about activities, I've attended a local soccer match some time ago, And I think it was a bus or two buses of people coming with T-shirts, Love Life, and they have everyone to have their packets of condoms, and they wanted to enter for free. There was a lot of debate regarding who's going to pay and who must go in free. At the end of the day, they went in free because they came there with a program. And it was actually saddened to see at the end of the match, close to in the halftime, all those people end up being spectators of that specific game that was played, and they forget everything, condoms and everything, they just forget. Then I want to ask also in terms of the internal audit processes and assessment of Love Life as to whether they have a system of accountability as far as corrective measures and actions is concerned regarding the qualified opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chairperson. I got four quick questions. My first question would be, I would love to know the type of schools which Love Life targets. Do they go to schools because they heard about that particular school, for instance, that there is a high number of pregnant teenagers in that school, or there is a high number of drug abuse in that school, or do they have perhaps some kind of an itinerary that they plan before that we would visit such and such a school for this particular period? That's my first question. My second question, Chairperson, would be, do board members meet as regular as required, and then are they getting paid for attending their meetings? My other question is on ground breakers and the impinges. I am made to understand that there is a training that is done on them. But I want to check whether despite the training, do the groundbreakers and the impinges know what is expected from them, in terms of their conduct. I'm going to give you an example, Chairperson. When I was still involved with the school, of course, it was not the impinges. They came to a school that I was teaching at. They conducted a wonderful presentation. I was a teacher liaison officer then. I was invited. I was highly impressed about that. But later on, there was this program of playing music and blah, 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 blah. That's where you began to see the inconsistency of what they've been telling kids to do, especially for young boys, because all of a sudden they changed and were proposing to those school girls, Hence, I'm speaking of the conduct that, despite the training, do they know of what is expected from them? That's my other question. But the other question is, it's still on them as groundbreakers, Chairperson, that I am made to understand that they earn something like 900 rand. And correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm trying to check why such a pittance, despite all these monies that you get from various departments. Why are they getting that small earning relative, Chairperson, to what seniors are earning? I need to understand the end is huge. I'm trying to compare that. How do you expect someone who is a foot soldier to be any such a little? That's my other question. And the last question, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chair. I forgot to ask about do the board members have names, and if they do have, we'd like to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to just shift a little bit, and I think my other colleagues have mentioned it, but I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the presentation. We're concerned primarily about sport here, and of course we're concerned about youth and everything, but I get the distinct impression that this should be directed at the Department of Health and Social Services and everything else, because everything we hear about is condoms, HIV, preventive measures, T-shirts, etc., etc. And very little is going to sport. Now, I know the link between sport and health, but I'm concerned that we're putting in $27 million, and well, my colleague has already mentioned that that's more than all our national federations receive per annum from our department. To me, that's a totally unacceptable thing, and I'll tell you up front, there's been a lot of opposition from this committee about our continued support, so I'm not going to beat around the bush on that. But a couple of direct questions. Number one, are you a member of SASCOC in any way or form? Okay? And if you are, is it regional, national membership, what is it? Now, for qualified audit, when I read the Auditor General's report, the qualified audit is because you have not produced financial records for the year ending 2010. As at the time of the audit, and that's in the Auditor General's report, of which I've got a copy of it in this document here. Now, I want to know why at the time that they signed off in here, those full financial records weren't provided to them. Three, why are there no donations for your organization from the Department of Education? Because it appears to me that a lot of this is going towards young people, a lot of your efforts. Four, and this is a worry, support services. Employee benefits are extremely high, and in that category, that subcategory, somewhere between 55 and 80% goes to benefits, salaries, benefits, and so on. Stipends have increased dramatically from 2009 to 2010. I want to know why. Travel expenses have also rocketed. Now, I also know that fuel's gone up, but are people flying business class? You know, what are we doing? Why is it going up so much when everyone else is cutting back? And then finally, my last point is, and my other colleagues have touched on it, we would like a breakdown by province in advance of a calendar year of all the sporting activities you're going to have in each province and or school or wherever. We need that in advance. Okay, so we have a calendar. I think one of my colleagues has mentioned. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. On the issue of the board members, let me start there first. Can you understand the gender and the race of the board members? The issues of schools which you've targeted, you know, I'm from this province. I was deployed in the Borland, I'm now in the Southern Cape. Borland speaks from Worcester, Pal, and all those things. I attended one Lovelace activity in Worcester. There was a lot of kids there playing, and I was standing there rather than check. There was very little supervision. Now we're talking about kids. That's a concern to me. Kids have been put on buses to go there, and after the games, they're just going. Now I'm asking myself, when did we speak to these kids about these issues which you are preaching, this faith? Because if you go to areas like the Duerant, you will see a kid pregnant. and you estimate that age at 14. The one school of the West Coast has even written a letter to Premier Helen Zille requesting for assistance, because in that school at that point in time there were 10 kids pregnant. Now my question is, do we reach all the schools, more especially the farm rural schools? Because that's where this is very rife. That's where these kids are employed by these farmers. They're not at school. Now what do we do as Lab Life with all these monies which we get? The one issue which is a concern to me also, Comrade Chair, this report speaks more about a program. Very little is said around issues of governance. And our focus as this committee is around governance. We need to get some information. What are you doing around governance? The issue of the qualified report has been raised here. Now there are other issues also which the AG raised there. But one don't know, we don't have a presentation around those issues. So that one can understand, there was this issue which was raised 2009-2010. What have we done to improve those things? We need to understand those things. As Honorable Lee has said, that the breakdown of this money which you get from the department, we must see into which programs it goes to. What kind of programs, how many programs are we talking about? So that we can monitor them. There's nothing which you can monitor if we don't have these things. Thank you, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me invite you to respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Do we pay our service providers promptly? Mr. Lee, the Love Life gets most of its funding from the government department. And our financial year is the calendar year, from January to December. And the government financial year is up to March. We find that we spend a lot of time, for that reason and many other reasons, waiting for government departments to disperse money to Love Life. So for a number of years, Love Life has been managing, really struggling to manage pretty much, very unpredictable cash inflows. So hopefully as we have now started meeting, for example, with the various portfolio committees, and we're finding ways to strengthen the partnerships with government departments, hopefully that will change. So we pay all suppliers as soon as we have the cash to pay them. The difficulty is that when you run a program like what we do, you've got staff, you've got groundbreakers, so you've got costs that you incur. If those people are sitting and not doing work, you're losing. The assets are idle. So to get the assets to work, we try and set up an agreement with the suppliers when they are engaged, to warn them that sometimes the money does not come when it's supposed to come. There might be a delay. The instance that you're describing is of very serious interest to me. So that if you say that there's someone that has yet not been paid, it has to be resolved. It's critical for us that when we have a full supplier management, a procurement policy, but a supplier management program. Because what we see as a responsibility for ourselves is that, because Love Life is a large buyer, it's important for us that the cash transfers into marginalized communities, that we're able to do as an organization, be linked to the outcomes we want to see in terms of reducing Roskamanyan people. So where possible, we like to help young people form themselves into small little companies that they can be able to carry out the work where possible. And when the money comes in, those are the small suppliers we want to prioritize. The large suppliers, we already tell them we will take 90 to 120 days. For example, because of very serious delays from one of the government departments, our media program, as I speak to you, has gone black, has been put on hold because we've owed a South African Broadcasting Corporation for a long time, and they are not running programs that we have actually produced. So it's a situation that we would deeply appreciate if the committee was able to help us as well to resolve. And so I would appreciate to get the details from you on that. I'm also disturbed by the fact that you called our offices and you were not transferred to the correct department. Rex McMashiro is the director of Love Life Games, and at the national office, in that department, there's four people, including William, who's here with us as well. And if there isn't anyone, we are a national office, but we service the country. So people could be traveling to various parts of the... But there should have been a way of taking a message from you so that one of the people... Or if you said it was important, it could be transferred to Scott, and because if he's in the office, he should be able to take it. And if Scott is not available and you explained who you were, where you were, it would be transferred to my office. And in my office, we have a very strong way of taking messages and returning calls. So I'm very disturbed by that. And it is by no means a culture that the organization likes to promote. So I'd like to apologize. So what we tried to do, the next question that you had was, what happened to the Sports and Recreation South Africa's specific budget? So what I tried to do on this slide was just being cognizant of the fact that this is an abridged version. I was trying, something I have been asked before is, how do we know that what we pay for health doesn't pay for the same thing and social development doesn't pay? I was answering that question here. That is why I was showing on every line item, how much is sport paying, how much, that's what I was trying to do. Clearly this is an abridged version. I also must apologize because in the original meeting date that we had scheduled with the committee, so there's the annual report. That was the time that the annual report was provided. I am speaking under correction because we met with two other committees in very quick succession, and my mind is just blurring. I think there might have been a detail provided. But if the committee requires further detail, we've been required by the other committees, we're very happy to provide it for you. It is completely public information, as you know, so we're very, very happy to provide that. I just wonder, even though it didn't come from you, whether this is not the time really to comment about the issue of the qualification of the Love Life report, because it was raised by many people. The Love Life financial report is not an adverse report. There is not anything that Love Life failed to do. Our auditors are very, very happy with the financial statement of Love Life. The qualification, as stated, is because, and this was largely because we were quite keen to come and to meet with the various portfolio committees in August, and hence we needed to publish our annual report. Our auditors were delaying, so let me just explain in this manner. The report that you have in the annual report is the Love Life Organization's report. Love Life has an investment company, it's investment trust. It's called Kurisani. By law, when you have an investment, it doesn't matter what the size of that investment is. When you have another vehicle, you are not allowed by law to publish one organization separately from the group. So at that time, the Kurisani as well, their financial year ends after the Love Life financial year. So we waited, we delayed with our Love Life report, in reporting to the different government departments, the portfolio committees and so on, until we needed to move. It was going to, we were going to only now be reporting to all the portfolio committees, and we wanted it to be in July. So eventually we requested the auditors to just give us the Love Life report. Unfortunately, they have to put in a qualification that to warn the reader that this is not the full picture. There's another piece somewhere that exists. That is all that the qualification is. It is not an adverse report. Our auditors are more than happy to provide any further, you know, any answers. They will be very happy to even give a separate letter that just says they are very happy with the financial business of Love Life. Now the consolidated reports have become ready because, as I say, Kurisani's financial year end is only in February, and so about 2 months later we were able to get the Kurisani report. It's available, it's published, and if you request, if you need a copy, we're very happy to provide that copy. That's just how the law, the, in terms of GAAP, you are required to report on the financial.
The consolidated report is not qualified.
That's what I'm saying.
You see, the moment you talk about investment and investment now, to me there's a red light. Because we can't, now I want to know, where does the money come from? Or whatever it is that you invest. Do you understand? The investment should be in the programs, in what is happening on the ground. That is why we give money, not to go invest. Well, that is how people say, oh, they take the state's money to go and invest somewhere for themselves.
Let us allow you to read it. We just intervene because one is established in terms of your overall consolidated
report. Okay, so let me just explain about what Kurisani is not in an investment account. It's an organization that is seeking to find alternate ways of raising funds for Love Life. The funding to fund Love Life costs us about 210 million per annum. And I assure you, we achieved that 210 million. And by squeezing all the economies of scale, by getting our suppliers to give some things for free, we squeeze that 2010, but the total budget of Love Life is 210 million. Government combined, the funding is 150 million. It requires a big, huge, effective fundraising department to raise 60 million every year. And so many years ago, in 2005, and so it's a, as I say, you know, the financial statement is within the qualification, is available. In 2005, as part of Kaiser Foundation's exit, for them to reduce, to basically prepare for their exit from supporting Love Life, they put together, they sought the services of a financial services company. That what that company does is look for BEE, broad-based BEE shares in companies on behalf of Love Life. The Kaiser did not pay any money to do that, neither did Love Life pay any money to do that. In terms of the Non-Profit Act, Love Life is not allowed to take donor funding and invest it for profit. So Love Life could never do that at all. But what happened was one or two, so that company then got, in those days you may remember that BEE, you were able to get into a BEE deal that was based on a debt structure. So what you do, you participate in that company, and instead of giving you the dividends at the end of the year, if they declare dividends, it goes towards paying off the debt. And so that is how Kurisani was established. Until 2009, it was a completely separate company. They basically could decide to fund, they are established to fund HIV prevention among young people. So if the trustees changed, they could decide to fund any other organization that's not Lava, but they were established really for purely for Lava. Our auditors took the view in 2009 that because this thing exists, as I say, it despite what the value of that vehicle is at the moment, because this thing was established for this as part of the sustainability plan of Lava Lava, as part of a large-scale fundraising plan, Lava Lava must consolidate for Kurisani. And so for the last, this would have been the second, this is in the consolidation, is the second report, 2009-2010 is the second report during which we consolidate. So, as I say, because we are a non-for-profit registered as an NPO, all of that information is available on public platform, and hence the consolidated report. Okay, so so we appeared, so where are the various sites in South Africa? We have a database. So when for us to be able to produce the map that we produce is because we've got a georeferencing mechanism. And we do have a database of all the sites, and we will provide it to the committee before the end of this week. It's part of our monitoring system. And that provides all the details, including contact details of the people that are running the site. And we've only appeared before this committee once, and we need to come here more often and report on the money. Said nothing will please us more. One of the things that I was going to request at the end of the presentation is we would like to come and share. Originally, when we asked for this meeting early September or end of August, it was to share with you our report for 2010. So most of the presentation was what was our reach, where, how did it go. And so as time goes on, it becomes old information, but you still have the annual report. Nothing will please us more than being able to come and present the work of Lava Lava, not just the money and the work of Lava Lava, our successes and challenges with you every year in August. We would like that very much. Does Lava Lava submit the same report to all the government departments? Yes, we submit the financials, the members that sit in the other subcommittees that are recognized in the room will see that this is exactly the information that has been presented to the other portfolio committee. So what we give you is information on Lava Lava, and we present Lava Lava to you. We come to introduce Lava Lava and present the information of Lava Lava to you. What we then do is try and look at our point of connection with the committee. In this instance, our point of connection is the Lava Lava Games. So that is why I thought giving you the video gives you a picture of the whole organization, so that you see the whole organization, but we have interaction about the Lava Lava Games, which is what connects us with the committee. But other than that, all of the what we really wanted to share with you is everything about the work of the organization. There's a concern that the presentation lacks provincial specificity. This is much more really trying to save you the time in the detail it will take. The information is available in provincial breakdowns. Within each province, we have regional offices. We even provide the information in a regional breakdown. If the committee requires, we will be very happy to provide the regional breakdown and the provincial breakdown. Just with regards to the quality of condoms, what I was trying to present with about the web of Love Life is that what drives risk among young people is not, it's not really as trivial as a condom. Condom is what protects people from transferring infection from one person to the other. What we are seeing as the real big issues in our business are issues of socio-economic marginalization. And that is what my presentation was about. Really what Love Life, it's just been unfortunate that Love Life has always been associated with condoms. And I assure you that I'm able to complete the full presentation of Love Life without talking about condoms. Because condoms is the behavior you see at the end. The big problem we have in our country is getting young people to get a sense of wanting to protect themselves. It's that is the incentive we're looking for. And in this particular meeting, one of the key things that provides an incentive for behavior change is participation in healthy living initiatives. And the Love Life Games is absolutely critical for us for that reason. So I am, at our event, we probably might have condoms, but we may not have condoms. At our site, we have condom dispensers. But as I say, condoms don't feature very, very high. It's what we'd like to see as a behavior in young people, but we have to get them energized.
Okay. So the next one talks about an existing calendar of events in partnership with Sports Recreation South Africa and the Federation. I'd just like Rex Mix to respond to that.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. We do have a formalized calendar. This calendar is not a Love Life calendar. It's a calendar for sports activities in South Africa, within SAFA, within Basketball South Africa, within Schools Basketball, within SASFA, and that's the calendar we are using as Love Life to identify our place in sports. We are going to be sitting this particular today, this morning, there's a committee in my office that's sitting with Department of Basic Education and Sports and Recreation that are to finalize the school leagues and activities that are coming up in December. That also falls into the calendar of Love Life. So there is no separate Love Life calendar for sports. It's a normal calendar of sports that is used by Love Life to effect its programs. We are going to be remember it's just gone out for the chess tournament. We're going to be there for almost a week and a half. Again, it's a national chess tournament for junior players. Love Life is going to be there. Thank you. I will provide the full calendar. I think I've got for November and December. I'll provide it before we leave today.
Thank you, Rex. Okay, so the next one was also about the qualification. I wonder whether at this point, because there was another one that just expressed concern about governance, and maybe I must just even talk about the board as a whole. Love Life board is chaired by Mr. Mpho Makwana. The deputy chair is Ms. Basetsana Khumalo. If I can just, you know, there's 10 board members, so we can go through each one of them, because there was a question about names and there was a question of racial and gender background. Chair, should I just mention them by name? They will be in the annual report. Yes, they will be in the first few pages of the annual report.
I think that there's no harm. I just said the member was talking about what is the democracy that we are talking about. I think what is participation is correct. And the first thing I would call that democracy is for the responsibility to necessary companies that generate
I suppose I should just mention, go through the names and just give you a very brief background if that would also be useful. On
I would
okay. The board of Love Life meets as a board 4 times a year. And there are 5 subcommittees of the board, and each one of the 5 subcommittees also meets 5 times a year. So in total, I have about 30 board meetings a year. And the subcommittees is the Audit and Risk Committee. We have an internal auditor within Love Life who reports to me and also reports to the Audit and Risk Committee of the board. There's the Remunerations and Human Resources Committee. There is the Program Strategy Committee. There's the Communications Committee. And there is the Fundraising Committee of the board. They all have a board charter and subcommittee charters, which are also available as public information. The board members, the membership on the Love Life board is voluntary, and the board members are not paid any remuneration for their participation. Then there was the issue of the conduct of groundbreakers and pinches. Despite the training. You know, I wish I could just say there was no such thing, it never happened. There are, in total, between pinches and groundbreakers, there are just under 10,000 young people that participate in, that we regard as young people in youth leadership development within Love Life. And when conduct of an unsavory nature is
identified. It is out of, you know, it's not a group of people where I would say there's a handful and I'll go and deal with it immediately and so on. What would really help is if the member that identifies, the groundbreakers have a code of conduct, they sign the code of conduct. While our experience is that usually training has cognitive outcomes. And there are many other things that actually result in behavior change, and it's not just training. But there is a code of conduct. They, for each group of 10 groundbreakers, there's what we call a regional program leader. What that person does is support groundbreakers. In each one of these sites, there's a line manager. They are supposed to manage, ensure that they come on time, that they have cordial relationships with the schools they work in, they know what they're supposed to do, and so on and so on. So when something like this happens, which I won't deny, these are young people that also tend, you know, they are under pressure, they, you know, but when this thing happens, it will be treated seriously within the organization. We would really appreciate it if, when you recognize it and we all agree this is unsavory conduct, it would be good for us to know about it. I must just apologize for something like that happening. So with regards to how much groundbreakers earn, do you want to add anything about the groundbreaker conduct? No? Okay. So how much do groundbreakers earn? The groundbreakers did for a very long time and 890 rand per annum. Again, per month, sorry. It's not that bad as per annum. Again, it's a trade-off for us. It's very little money. 890 is really very little money. We did not increase their stipend from 2003 to this year. And so what we were sitting with is the pressure to scale up. When you have a program like this, you know, you can do good things in your corner there, but the good things will not be felt at population level unless you're operating at scale. So it was an issue of, you know, to what extent do we continue to scale up and get to as many young people as possible, at the expense, you know, trying to control the expenditure within the organization. It was not sustainable. So earlier this year, the groundbreaker stipend was increased to 1,200. That's what they earn. And hopefully we'll be able to keep up with the market, because since the groundbreaker program was established, in fact, there are many other peer education programs that are similar. And we had lagged behind in terms of that bucket, but we've corrected it. We've corrected it, but I take the point that was made by the member. We also agreed that the amount was too little. And that 880 did exclude, though, the small little allowances that they did get for transport and airtime and so on. So, yeah, it did. But that is where we are now. We are 1.2, and I can say it without feeling embarrassed. You know, just the issue of that Love Life objectives and goals are health-oriented and not necessarily sports-oriented. It just is that sports is such a powerful tool for many, many, many things. For those people that may be aware of the Love Life Games from many years, and I expect it would be a few people among the members, when the Love Life Games was started, it was at the time where school sports was not as strong as it could be, and not as organized as it could be. And the partnership between Love Life and USASA, on Love Life's side, was always about reducing young people's risk of infection, strengthening the level of discipline among young people in South Africa, strengthening social capital, the sense of belonging to something, strengthening self-esteem. Then the two minds met with a partner whose job was and is sport. And it would be sad if we did not see just the how massive the social benefit of sport is, and how we're sitting with an opportunity, in our opinion, and with this new partnership we've just agreed on with Department of Basic Education and the Department of Sport. We see an opportunity for us to actually target the most marginalized communities. That is where HIV is going in the wrong direction rather than going down. And that is farms and urban informal communities. So I understand that sports and competitive sports and identification of talent is important to this committee. Sports can change, can do many, many, many things in our country, and Love Life would like to continue a partnership with you to do our part in getting the social benefits of sports in those communities out there. Are we a member of SASCOC? Rex Max, could you please respond?
Thank you very much. I think maybe just to add on what CEO has indicated, I'm sitting in various national federation committees. We interact regularly. This coming Friday, I will be sitting with Netball South Africa. They have come out clear to say their biggest challenge is they are losing young players because of teenage pregnancy. How can we help each other? The Love Life Games model is specifically about focusing in the sport community, helping those young people to look beyond that. If you're looking for a star, you invest in them, a 12-year-old, you're going to lose them somewhere. But in a partnership of Love Life, taking all into account the model of Love Life, we are able to help young people within sports to grow further. So I want to add on that. So it's a very deep focus that we are on. In sports, we are there, because if we move away, nobody speaks to those young people about the issue outside the pitch. Nobody. And we have seen very important players in Chiefs and whatsoever, some of them dying before a time we could name, particularly because of that. It takes about 7 years to live with the virus. So it's clear this young person has contracted it at his young age, and he lived with it. And how many of them have actually disappeared in the process? So that's the social agenda that we have in federations. And we found that space being very solid, and we've been welcomed with all arms. We are participating fully in SASCOC. In fact, on Friday, I'm going to be sitting in the National Coaching Framework, particularly to design content, training content that we go to each and every coaching education. When you coach, train a coach sometimes is a very influential and important person to a young player. Now, a young player will sometimes even listen to a coach more than the teacher in class and the parent at home. Now, if the coach is not part of the cycle of developing this young person, there is a missing link. There is a missing link. So we're preparing coaches to understand how to deal with players between the ages of 12 to 15 or 14, those who might not have started, what kind of messages, what kind of important issues, and those who are older in terms of how do they conduct themselves beyond. So we are providing that content that's going to be forming part of the coaching framework. For this calendar year, we are working with Basketball South Africa. In fact, today there is a course starting in Janfest. They have never been there before. They are coaching, they are training coaches in the rural community for the first time in their history. And we're doing that throughout the country. We've targeted about 1,400 coaches, administrators in specific sporting codes that comes from the different federations. So that partnership cycle of a future using coaches as mentors for young people is entrenched not just in talk. We are already practicing it. Thank you.
There are members who wanted to speak. It is the reason I wanted them to speak, because sometimes they will answer the questions. And I will come back to you. And from the lead, they will be the last one, and also the last one. And the gentleman, take my people, he wants to come.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the call center. I just want to know if LoveLife employ people who speak different official languages to assist those who are in need of counseling. And the other one is, you distribute magazines, but my question is, you distribute this magazine to the regional offices or clinic or schools? And the last one is, I want to know if you have got offices in the local municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. A lot of my questions were asked, and while they were answering, some of the ones that I wanted to ask were also answered. Like, I wanted to check if there is a program around November, December for young people, because you know it's festive season, you know, kids can roam around streets. If there's nothing that you are going to do, then it will take us back to where we don't want to go. And also the list of all areas that you operate in, I'll appreciate it if you get it maybe before December, because we are going on recess. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello. Oh. Thank you, Sheikh. I think I'm covered. The members have covered me. So I think I'll appreciate or I'll be glad if our relationship with LoveLife can improve, because I think we have raised several concerns with this committee. I remember in our budget vote this year in February, we have raised concerns to the minister and the deputy minister with regard to the accessibility and the visibility of LoveLife. That's why some of us, we have received calls from LoveLife with regard to their programs. But we are looking forward to work with you. And thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, to start where Former Chair has ended now, we got calls from LoveLife to work together, to go be part of their festivals and so on. But that's actually where it ended. They phoned me, I availed me anytime in the whole of the Central Karoo. But that is where it ended. I never got a call. That dates are used by LoveLife. Because I was the one, the previous visit and in the budget speech, that gunned LoveLife for... I was part of LoveLife from 2000 to where the change came. And then I went out of schools. So I've been part and parcel, and I know what was done previously. And to me, it doesn't seem as if that presence is still available. We don't see it. We don't have a calendar. Can you produce for us now the calendar of 2010, 11, and next year? So that we can go, I'm in PE, I go there because there's an event. I'm in there and I can go there. So that's our problem. It's nice to get this program, what you are doing for the year. But on the ground, for us, I'm from the Central Karoo. Mr. Lee is from Eastern Cape. This one is from Mpumalanga. We very few of us see. I mean, last year I said they're using my venue, and they phoned me if we want it free. The venue which my club use and pay for the municipality, they want to use it free, and they come barge in. They want to do it free, and afterwards they eat nice Kentuckys and those type of things, and they see them. No, they don't. You don't see them again. So that's the problems which I'm sitting with. The scaling down of codes. I mean, it's very specific. It's just the normal few codes, and that's to me every time a problem, because it's not only and those codes that the problems are. So really, it's previously. all the other small groups, hockey was part of it, table tennis, and those were part of it. And it's not here in this thing. So that's another problem. So for us to change our mind about love life, because, I mean, I counted 180 million. The CEO said it's actually 210 million, which is spent every year. Now, Comrade Lee said 27 million is going to all national federations. So, I mean, you can do much more, and it's not really fair to get a financial statement where staff cost is in excess of almost 60 million. The staff cost, and we don't know how many 1,200 per month is paid, and how big is the top structures payment. We don't know, because it's a huge chunk of the amount which goes to straight to staff cost. So I was part of the formation of Love Life. I had a passion for it. I know two girls that got their was seen at Love Life in Durban, and they got national colors in hockey. But hockey is no more part of this whole thing. It's two rural children from the Central Karoo, and they ended in the national team for almost 5 to 7 years. That's the things we don't see at this stage. And for us to change our vision of... Now, I'm going to stop now, but... Okay. For us to change our attitude, we must not get a call and know nothing else. I said 2 years ago, I was at the field where they was, and they said they can't pay. Love Life haven't got money to pay. At the end, they eat Kentucky's. All of them got Kentucky's, and they left the mess of it just there at the field. So I've got a passion, but I can't at this stage, because we don't see it. No one of us can see where you are busy. So we want next year to talk about Love Life. We've been there, as I've been pre-2006. Really, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, Chairperson, there are too many comrades now in this committee.
We are many friends, spiritual, physical friends. That's why tunneling, they're very passionate about it. Why? I think they have recruited you to be in something.
I was the first tournament they had endorsed the CEO of the tournament. Actually, for the first 3 years.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you for your balanced view regarding the response to my question. And I really ask for your indulgence here. I really fail to understand how does Love Life assist, help schools as far as the condom is concerned. And I'm saying this on a very serious note. TASA reported that 44,000 children, 44,000 in Limpopo, received child grants. And by Love Life's own admittance, it is proof that the knowledge of the condom used is rather non-existent. And these are children from grade 9 to 12. In Giani, 50 pregnant in 2010, school children. In Gauteng, 4,800 over 500 schools. So it's really disturbing for me. It is a concern, very, very grave concern for me. We're having over 6,000 schools in South Africa. And Love Life must come out clear as to how many of these schools have been targeted or have been reached by them to roll out And we mustn't be naive and or negligent to the fact that Love Life is not about condoms. Love Life is about condoms. When I see Love Life, I see condoms and I see preaching in resolving.
They are putting it very nice. Let me invite the
Thank you, Chairperson. And are we completely? I mean, this is exactly the opportunity we see also in the greater closer relationship with the members. Just with regards to the call center was the question. We offer counseling and information on the call center. I think in all 11 official languages. So what that means is that when we recruit staff, if we want a social worker, we would say we want a social worker that can speak Venda and Sotho and so on. We know, I'm talking about Venda and Tsonga. I'm giving you extra information, but Venda and Tsonga are the two cues that we struggle a lot to keep staffed, but there will always be somebody to talk in 11 official languages of South Africa. And when you call the call center, it first asks you what language would you like to speak, and then it cues you straight into that language. And when you get there, you will find someone that can help in that language. And that is both in all our lines. We have a line for young people, for parents, and for our go-getters. In all those lines, that is how we have structured. And the magazines, the Uncut magazine is distributed, and in all the 880 communities we work, in the number of schools we worked in 2011, because there was a school question, was 6,500. And I know now we are somewhere, at this time for 2011, we are somewhere around 8,000. In all of those, in that database, we distribute the magazine in all of those schools. They go to our regional offices to also be distributed at events and so on. From time to time, we get young people calling the call center, asking to be sent the magazine. And so we have a little subscription database of people that are requesting the magazine, and it is then sent to them, the addresses that they provide. We have 23 offices across the country. And so in the end, we really cannot say we are in all local municipalities. But what we've done is cluster municipalities and have an office somewhere where it's a center. For example, in KZN, we have clustered Sisonke, Ugu, eThekwini into one. And we are based in Sisonke, our offices in Sisonke. So that's how we have tried to cluster so that we are within reach of the communities we want to work with. Do you want to just hit with the, just with the rest of the question?
Thank you very much. The activities over the holiday period, Honourable Dube, every sustained holiday, we do run a full holiday program for the young people in that community. Our groundbreakers and ambitions in all of the 880 communities have a strong program during that time. In addition to that, as Rakhnex has already pointed out, there are sometimes some Love Life Games activities that take place in over school holidays. We would like it to be more, though. We would like there to be more work. As you say, it is a very vulnerable time in young people's lives. And also, Honourable Dube, I will be sending the list of all hubs and activities through. Then on to the issues that Honourable Van der Linde raised. The first one about the calendar, I'm going to hand over to Rakhnex because he's been working on that, and so he'll be able to give us some updates on when we can expect this calendar and how to get the latest information about the calendar.
Thank you very much. I think just a little bit backwards, currently, even within National Federations, it's a struggle to know what's happening in one community in this particular, sitting in this particular area. And we've taken that. Fortunately, I've been working with the World Cup, and I was able to produce a system that assisted us to manage the World Cup in the movement of the teams. We did it, and we know what the World Cup did. So we're bringing that experience into South Africa. We are going to be developing a web-based scheduling system where each and every activity that happens is logged onto a system. If you want to know what's happening in Vosta, you simply type Vosta, the sport, and the dates. It will give you the number of activities, events that are scheduled in that community. So that's planned to come into full fruition as from the 2012 financial year going forward. At the present moment, we are dealing with schedules manually. We receive schedules from the National Federation, from school sports, from the community. We put them together. We disseminate them. So we have got schedules that have got we've got here with us in place. On the question of the sporting codes, I think the eight specific, the priority that we focus on as you go up the schedule, right? If you start looking at regional activities, provincial activities, those are the ones that would be inclined to support. However, at community level, we respond to the community needs. In Limpopo, softball is very popular. We've got a very strong relationship with softball. In various communities, hockey, we staged the inter-provincial hockey tournament and in April holiday, April, May holidays. We're working with Marisa, the new CEO there. We did an excellent job. So at grassroots level, it is all the sporting codes driven by the need from the community and the community federations. And I think with the scheduling system, you then get to get a different picture in terms of our spread across the national federations. And another very important thing is that we also know of communities that play a particular sporting codes where the national federation is nowhere to be found. And that's where we are now creating the direct link to say, here is a sporting federation, that an activity that's taking place here. It doesn't have guidance. Please come and train coaches, train referees. Let's establish clubs affiliate to them, and they play in that community, but in an organized structure. So that we are already doing. So I think come 2012 going forward, we are definitely going to be big, and we will certainly invite all members to the various activities so that they can experience. I would like to host them in the Mobile Rights Center. There's a place for old people, and then give them a rundown on how adults can learn to deal with young people in a sports event. Thank you very much.
As soon as they got programs available, that they put it through to our, we part of sport, so put it through to my email address. Our email are available from Pori, so it will be good because, as you say, it's a difficult thing to get the programs. So.
Just if I could quickly respond to a couple of the issues around quality with which Honourable Van der Linde raised the previous portfolio committee meeting I was privileged enough to be in. And I just wanted to say that to this committee that a lot of these strategic changes have been as a result of the input you gave us in that portfolio committee meeting. What we've adopted is a strategy that is far more that really controls the environment of the Love Life Games in a far more structured way. The clear role clarification between federations and Love Life is meant to ensure that there's no spot where a young person is not being taken care of, where there's no parent or coach acting in loco parentis. The Love Life Games, the Mobile Wise Center, is meant to ensure that the quality of the intervention that is being staged there is of the highest level that we can manage. So that you basically don't just have ragtag events being run, which was what the description that we got from the last portfolio committee meeting. And as a model, the quality assurance that we can now implement is far greater than we could beforehand, largely through the network of partnerships that we're busy putting in place. So the negotiations for venues, the catering at events, all of these things are the role of the federations or the sports associations to ensure that all of those things are done within their normal practices. Love Life's responsibility is to ensure that HIV prevention happens at the event. So we look forward to engaging further on that particular issue, because I think we are going to see a sea change in terms of quality. Chairperson, you gave us an instruction earlier on to focus on some issues that are of relevance to policy, and I think that we have arrived at one with the Honourable McLuhan's comments about condom use and schools. At the moment, the policy of the National Department of Basic Education is that only if the school allows, the school governing body has explicitly allowed condom distribution within the school, may you do any condom distribution. Now, we support 100% the idea that parents should be the ultimate decision makers when it comes to what happens to their children while they're at school. So we don't want to say that's one of the things that's standing in the way. But we do want to say that we need to do more to advocate for SGPs to allow proper, comprehensive sexual and reproductive health services, education and counselling in schools, because it's one of the main areas at the moment where our prevention efforts are reaching a brick wall. If, as Grace has already pointed out, it's not just about the condom itself, it's about whether or not you are averse to risk, whether or not you love risk, whether you want to take big risks, and those are the things that we try to focus on. But at the end of the day, you can either have access to that condom, to that means to protect yourself, or you can't. And in many of our communities, young people don't have access to contraceptive methods unless they are provided in an environment that is close to them and that is friendly to their needs. So I would say that's a big policy issue that we need to take forward as a nation.
Yeah.
Any
other
points?
If you are fine now, then that's what anyway we need every time. But we can't be policymakers without having strategic issues and policies. Because you want them to do what they are supposed to do. Don't forget that they are not administrators. They are not interested about how you run on the system. They are interested about what is the impact of what we are actually doing. That they think about the better life of all. Some of the parliament are worried about actually the policy issues that are existing. And then I think we should do that. So we should also bear in mind one point on this one. There are people who come before committee to account, and there are people who come before committee to act. And then people who account to committee will be those who are deployed politically. And the chief executive officer, they are counting on this. All other people come to answer to the committee, give information to the committee in order for the committee to hold those who are counting responsible for action. It's important that when we come to committees, at least we are able to take us to another level of things that are going to because we are dealing with this matter daily. So daily we are dealing with this matter. And I think we have observed a lot of things. In fact, the issue that we are raising about the constraints is a big issue. Because the society must entertain the discussion about that members of parliament are the key individuals to do so in their positions everywhere, that they know what are the constraints in terms of the life of the organization. So it's just important that we do that. And then, because it's important that when we come here, we must be the most excited individuals who are here. Because we're not really about training, we are not interested in our agenda. Interested to seek information that would assist us to work as members of parliament. And then that's what we need, really, about embarrassing you, shouting at you. In fact, don't want to shout at anyone. And we want to do assist us to deal with the situation. We should be to enrich the entire society. around the community wide, and also about the international organization. And I just guess that we are really accepted as a common position. And I think we really important now is exercised to the constraints and then the social threat and the structural problem. Because those who members of parliament exist with the structural problem in society. Because without addressing those structural problems, we won't get rid of the problem that they are trying to do. Therefore, once you raise these things, we make them better members of parliament, so that when informed, then we are not using our natural intelligence. I think 21st century is very necessary, but I don't think we can solve all the problems with natural intelligence. Therefore, we have to research these things, and ensure that you share information with us. And we may not have put up some time on other issues. We may not have to see about how many funders we want to choose. But we know the impact of your offer in assisting the young people to become better South African citizens. And then to me, it's very important that we do that. And of course, we take the point that you have to fundraise with the government structure. And then that is the policy breaking, all that. But I think we are doing a good job, you know. And then I have a solution. I think one of the accountants has put all this association about the distribution of condom in the national radio. I was very worried because I think the entry point was almost really very polemic. When we all agree that we need to ensure that we see the question of HIV and AIDS. Therefore, it's a truth of every type in South Africa to do that. But when you enter that discussion, a very polemic, sometimes very helpful to assist ordinary people in rural areas to understand the challenges that they are facing with HIV and AIDS, and what is the role of the lifeline in addressing some of those problems. We won't address all our problems, but I think we must make it intact in a society. I think that's what we are presenting today. And then I hope that we'll be able to have this discussion in future meetings. So it's a different candidate team, have a discussion in future meetings. And then I think you want us to invite you around August. I think the team will take care of that. And then we've identified an issue in our report. I think we're waiting on that. And then I think also you will appreciate really the what is it that you have chance to do. And then because we are not a noble team, we are members of parliament. We don't know from the top of anyone, which has addressed the issues that we see in terms of policy. And then assisting people who are making laws, generally to change their laws, I think very important. Because when they meet now with the Department of Education, at the Portfolio Committee level, they are able to raise some of the issues that we are raising. I think that's good. I think it's a very useful discussion, and I think members will have many other issues that they may raise. Of course, for communication, there's calling here, there's calling distribution. From time to time, I think we'll be in touch with you, we'll be in touch with you. And then trading of coaching, I think it's very important. And then rights, I think, are very important. I just hope that we are not having bias, like all of us, because many of us generally are urban bias because we stay in this urban area. We hope also we try to take care of the people. And then also it's not to consider metros also, those are 9 metros generally, this is the whole situation of metro. So I'm not sure why you can't engage with your local government counterparts really. Local government also accommodate you one or another. But it's the point that we must decide. Metros are very important. People are migrating to Western States, particularly Cape Town, Japan, Johannesburg. Therefore, those areas are very important as catchment areas for people from rural areas. Therefore, it must be there. Because if you are saying in squatter community, the problem is much higher than second community, surely your focus also must be in that area. And members of parliament also should be assisting you there to ensure that we are trying that problem. I think thank you very much for your attendance. We'll meet again. Let us give the members not to me. We can have members living at the same time as their guests. Mr. Lee.